when you find yourself in a palace. Joseph has been in a pit. He's been in a prison. And now suddenly, in a day's notice, he's in a palace. And it shocks and surprises him as much as anybody. I sure have liked these title slides. It's like watching a movie. How did I get here? Well, that basket looks prophetic. Yeah, that's not the Moses basket. That's 400 years later. So yeah, that is a prophetic basket of Moses. And one thing that Joseph had to do was they said, you're going to see the Pharaoh as soon as possible, shave and get cleaned up. Hebrews grow their beards to show their manhood and their covenant with God. And now he's having to shave his beard, his head, get dressed up in Egyptian clothes, and he's going to be standing in front a mighty throne, perhaps the greatest of its time time of history. Because of the Nile River, which is the longest river in the world. Amazon River is a close second. 4,100 miles. And all along this Nile River brings fertile land and life. And especially right as it flows into the Mediterranean Sea, it's a delta of the Nile went into seven rivers back in ancient times. And that would flood once a year and bring all this topsoil and silt from Africa and make that just the most fertile land in the world. They were like the breadbasket of the world, and all that economy made them a great nation and military might. Here he is standing in front of the strongest, mightiest king on the earth who thinks he's God. Pharaohs believed they were gods. One slip of the tongue, one misspoke word, one bad attitude, and woo, Joseph could be gone, not even finish a sentence. How did he get there? What happened? And I realized looking back, I actually left you guys hanging last Sunday. And I didn't finish the details happening in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife was pursuing Joseph, it said, daily, urging him, tempting him to come to bed with her. And he was wanting to resist that. He was in the house that day without any other workers. They're all alone. She goes after him again, and he says no. He's running away from her. She grabs his cloak, rips it off, and screams and claims that he was trying to rape her. Here's his cloak. He heard me scream and ran away so he wouldn't get caught. He calls him this Hebrew that you brought in and to mock us, these Hebrews. You see, back in that time, Hebrews were detested by the Egyptians because Hebrews were shepherds. They were out in the field. They were barbaric. They weren't like the Egyptians with their big cities and urban and knowledge, and they were elitist. They were superior than other races, and they wouldn't eat with Hebrews. And so Potiphar got really angry, threw Joseph in prison, probably his prison. Remember, he was captain of the guard. And so this prison was actually near the palace because it was where the enemies and the prisoners from the capital and the king's, Pharaoh's reign would have been thrown into that prison. I'm wondering what Joseph was thinking. I was in a pit. Now I'm in a prison. God, what are you doing to me? This looks impossible. How am I going to get out of here? Is this my lot in life? Is just be a slave and be captured and thrown here and there? What was amazing was Genesis 39:21 says, that the Lord was with him that's in prison. And he showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So much so that the same pattern happened again that happened at Potiphar's house, that he quickly rose to prominence among the warden of the prison, where the prison warden just gave him all the responsibilities, didn't worry about it again. And that phrase, "and God was with him," is repeated again in the next verse or two, just to emphasize, even in prison, when it doesn't look like there's any hope and there's no future ahead of you, there God can be with you. His favor can rest on you. Where God sends you, where you live, where you work, where you go, in the crises and the tragedies that happen, God is with you and can use you. He wants to shine through you. And then what happens in Genesis 40? We get this introduced to two people thrown into prison from the palace, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And they were accused of doing something deceptive and that could harm Pharaoh. Pharaoh was angry, put them both into prison. And we get this, let me explain what a cupbearer is. Baker made bread. He had a team. He was the chief baker. The chief cupbearer is the one that before the Pharaoh would eat anything, he would drink it or eat it to test it to make sure it wasn't poison. Because a Pharaoh, the greatest power, he has many enemies. And he's trusting this cupbearer and his team. So they were like the Secret Service, really. They're watching anyone that comes in and out of the palace, anyone that comes in and out of the kitchen. And they're, you know, got the little walkie-talkies, you know, checking in, you know, watching everybody. And who can they trust and who can they not? And, you know, you want to be a good cupbearer. You want to have a good Secret Service team because you're drinking that drink. If you didn't have a good team really watching out for those sneaky murderers and assassins, then you're going to be one that dies. Eating and drinking Pharaoh's food. And what we find is in this section of this story are two dreams, one from the cupbearer, one from the baker, and one from Pharaoh. And I want to read these dreams to you. Let them be models along with some dreams I've had of breaking down. Well, does God really speak to us in dreams today? How? If so, how? How can I interpret dreams? How can I learn what he's trying to say to me? What he's communicating. And so that's where I want to go today. But let's just do an introductory comment about dreams. Where do they come from? Where is the source of dreams? I put it in a general of four categories. One is God. And that's what we're studying today. Number two, just from ourselves. Our souls has a mind, will, and emotions. And our mind has thoughts going through it all night long. I know some people say, "Oh, I don't have any dreams." Well, your mind is thinking all night long. And it doesn't have a lot of sense. Our will is really dormant. Our will, when we're asleep, we're not making choices in our dreams and so forth. But that's part of our soul. Our emotions can impact our dreams. It could be a stressful day. It could be a hard time. It could be a joyous time. And those emotions can impact those dreams. And these dreams aren't from God per se, but they can reveal things that are going in our minds, in our souls, that need prayer. There can be patterns and say, "Lord, I want some prayer for this because of this pattern that of a stress dream, of a fear dream," and ask the Lord to go deeper in you and heal that. Another one is medicinal side effects, food reaction, illness, fevers. They can cause dreams and hallucinations. And then lastly on the list here today is demons. Nightmares for children. Terror dreams where there's fear and that's all the results is. And And these are important to be aware of as well, because God will give you direction how to stand against that over your children, over yourself, that you don't have to have a pattern of nightmares in your life week after week, month after month. So let's jump into this story of these two new prisoners under Joseph's care. And Joseph notices that they come, as he goes to serve them in the morning, that they're super dejected. Now, I'm assuming if you're in prison, you're super dejected anyway. But they were especially downcast that day. And he said, you know, hey, what's wrong? What's up? And verse 8 of Genesis 40, this is where I'm going to read. And I'm just going to read through this passage of these two dreams. Let me get some water first. Verse 8, we both had dreams, they answered, but there's no one to interpret them. Then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, in my dream, I saw a vine in front of me. And on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its cluster ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand. This is what happens, what it means, Joseph said to him. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift your head and restore you to position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of Hebrews, even here, I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. This is what it means, Joseph said. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh. Now the 3rd day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Wow. What are the purpose of dreams and visions? Visions are images, visible, colorful images, maybe like a short movie that when you're awake, you see it, and you see this little movie or this picture. I call them maybe a mini vision if it's just a picture. What is the purpose of them? And I'm going to go to a passage in 1 Corinthians 12 that lists the gifts of the Spirit. And I feel like visions and dreams are of the prophetic ministry of God. And they have a prophetic nature. So I want to just list the gifts of the Spirit to you right now and apply this. This is similar to how dreams work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. See, to each one, God has this manifestation where the Holy Spirit is working from heaven to earth, because it's His will be done, His kingdom come on earth, it is in heaven. And He brings His Spirit down to work, and it's to bless many people, the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, and dreams can give you wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge, and there can be an aspect of knowledge that, oh, that's what I needed to know. That was the confirmation. That's new understanding, all by means of the same Spirit. Verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Dreams can build your faith and give you hope. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, and to another, miraculous powers. God can give clues on your healing or how to pray for healing and miracles. To another, prophecy. You know, prophecy is for our exhortation, for our encouragement, and for our comfort. That says that in just two chapters after this, in chapter 14. It's to, again, build you up, edify you, to encourage you. This is what prophecy is for. Dreams can do that. And to another, distinguishing between spirits, or some versions say discerning of spirits. Dreams can do that. Help you see what's really happening in the spiritual realm. That there are demons involved in this this situation, in this relationship. And you realize, okay, this changes everything. How I'm going to pray. God is revealing that there are demons involved. Of course, it could be God revealing His presence and power by His Holy Spirit and angels. And people see angels or are aware of angels. So the distinguishing of spirits, and then different kinds of tongues, and still another, the interpretation of tongues. Those are a gift of the Spirit where they work together. A gift of tongues then is interpreted, so it's like a prophecy. I'll share one of my dreams where this relates to that somewhat. Verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Our God wants to speak to His children. He is not some distant God, and you have to wonder, is He want relationship with you? He does, and He wants to reveal truths. He wants to reveal His love. He wants you to give you guidance. He finds all kinds of ways, including dreams and visions, and these nine gifts of the Spirit in many ways. I know one of my a ministry I was a part of in Pennsylvania, he wrote many books, and he had 50 ways that God speaks to His children, and he had examples of all these, and he had to do a new version of the book because there's more than 50 ways in the Bible that God wants to speak to His children. He can't really put a number on it. And it's unique also to us and our personalities. All right, so if dreams are a prophetic nature, they are to build up and edify us and comfort us and to even predict things in the future at times. What are the types of dreams out there? There's a long list. I've only using five today to kind of help guide us here. Number one, they're hopeful and faith-filled dreams. That was the cupbearer, wasn't it? In 3 days, you're going to be back on track with and Pharaoh's giving him his drink. I had a dream. It was a short dream, but it was a dream relating to a close relative. It built my hope. I could see this relative's full of faith and restoration, and that was that just gave me faith. Okay, God's at work, working in this person's life. Just a few months ago, two of our ministerial staff shared with me, just a week apart from each other, it's like these dreams happened at the same time, basically, and they said, hey, I had a dream about, and it was a different close relative, and this person was restored spiritually, and that gave me hope and faith that God is working. He's alive. My prayers can be full of faith. I don't have to pray in fear and oh no, and no, I know God is working. I can trust Him in this. They're warning dreams. Warning dreams are cautions of something ahead, and God has given you direction there. Now, for the baker, that was a tough warning dream. In 3 days, you're going to die. Now, I think what I've experienced, warning dreams, that it's usually a condition, like God is saying, hey, something's going to happen, but if you do this or if you pray this, it's, you know, you get this sense, okay, then it can be diverted. It's a warning. You need to pray, or someone needs to repent, or someone needs to get right with God, because you're disobedient. You're just walking away from the protection that God wants to give you, because you're just doing your own thing and not caring. And that disobedience opens doors for the devil to attack you. And he's warning you, change, turn around. No, don't keep doing that. One of the articles by Jennifer, something her last name, I'll show it to you later. She had a dream, and God showed her, and it was a intense dream, someone she believed died in the dream. But yet it wasn't, it was symbolic. It wasn't a physical death. It was a spiritual death of a relationship. And as she was going through the steps of trying to interpret this, she didn't have a fear of anyone dying because she felt like God was just saying there's going to be an ending of like a ministry or relationship. And sure was, a few weeks later, total shock, a close friend, ministry friend, the whole bit, that relationship was just cut off and broken. And because of the dream, it didn't totally wipe her out. It still surprised her, but it prepared her for what was going to happen. I had a dream of a family here at the church, a number of years ago. And it was a warning dream that if you keep going in this route, it's not good. The results are not good. The consequences are not good. What did I do? Did I just go share it with this person? No, I didn't. I prayed over it first, make sure it's according to God's word. Went to Dolores, because Dolores and I do a lot of counseling together. Let's pray over this dream with me. Got a witness to share it with this person. But I didn't just do a real quick deal. I went through a process of getting that. Is this going to be helpful in to this person, in ministry to this person? Number three, direction dreams. Upcoming decisions that you make, and you have this dream that said, oh, okay, this really helps. Thank you, Lord. This has just been about 3 years ago. I had a question to God about an issue here at church that was bothering me, and I really didn't know where to go with it, and it was kind of one of those prayers you just lift to God, surrender to Him, and wait on Him. I had a dream. This dream was an intense dream. In fact, it was what I would also call a spiritual warfare dream. When I wake up, I see these dark figures, and I'm not going to get into symbols of what they look like and so forth, but I felt their oppression coming over me. I'm feeling the darkness, and I start speaking, in the name of Jesus, I come against you, and I started praying in my prayer language in tongues. In this dream, resisting back, and it was so real. I was saying this out loud, woke up my wife, Delisa. She's like, what are you doing? Shook me and woke me up. And so I realize now that issue, that was a spiritual attack on our church. So that gave me direction of how to approach the situation by faith and prayer to take authority over that and to look at ways to make some changes. Confirmation. God is so gracious to give confirmation. And He can use a dream or vision to do that. When we sense God's will, we believe He's given us a direction, yet we're waiting from a scripture, from some other way for God to speak to us. And He can do that through a dream or vision. Number five, or a prophetic word. Number five, intercession and spiritual warfare. Always dreams, and I'm going to say prophecies, or for prayer first. People, if you get a dream or even a prophetic word, you think, oh, I've got to share it. No, we've got to pray over it first. That's what, when God gives us things, we pray over it first, then the timing of releasing it can be different, and unique. And so that's important thing to realize. There was a ministry couple I'd known for a number of years. I wasn't really close to them, but I had this dream. And I saw this spiritual attack, and this thing was dark. It was swirling. I mean, it was evil over them. And so that gave me a direction on how to pray and intercede for them. They happened to be here at Living Waters just a couple of months later. So there was a timing of that dream that was right, that I was able, in a prayer session for that couple, able to pray accurately in that spiritual warfare and even share them components of that so they would have awareness as well. Let's go back to Joseph's story. Oh, Joseph begged these guys, please, cupbearer, be kind to me. Tell Pharaoh that I'm in here unjustly. And he forgot him. He was in prison for another 2 years. And we find out a little later, he's 30 years old. So at 17, he had his original dreams of how his family members are going to bow down to him. And he was all built up and excited about that. And then he's been in a pit. He's been in a prison. He saw his way out through the cupbearer. and no way out. So we're talking about that. Help me with the math. That's 13 years later. We're at this moment. And what happened was Pharaoh had a dream. And it freaked him out. It was two parts of a dream. He had a dream, woke up, and had another dream similar to that. He knows this is not just his pizza and pepperonis he ate the night before. This is something serious, bigger than me, even though, hey, I'm Pharaoh, I'm a deity. And he calls all his magicians, who were the master magicians of magic and evil spirits and things in the whole kingdom, and none of them could interpret the dream. And that's when the cupbearer remembered. There's this Hebrew in prison who interpreted both of our dreams correctly, and here I am standing before you. And the Pharaoh said, get him. And it was all a quick transaction that it perhaps, you know, within 24 hours or less, Joseph finds himself in a palace. And let's read about these dreams. I'm just going to start reading at verse 15 and just go all the way through it. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream and no one can interpret it, but I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. I cannot do it, Joseph replied to the Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Verse 17, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream I was standing on the bank of the Nile, when out of the river there came up seven cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, seven other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the seven fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dream, I saw seven heads of grain, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, seven other heads sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none of them could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The seven lean, ugly cows that came up after are 7 years, and so are the seven worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh, God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance and coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance of Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. Wow. That's a warning dream, isn't it? There's hope and faith that, hey, there's seven good years, but then there's a warning of seven bad years. And this gift that Joseph has is amazing, that he was able to that quickly have an interpretation. His ears were so in tune with God. Then he goes on, and we won't read it today, another time. He goes in even how to respond and how to apply this and administrate those 14 years. I want to give you a resource for you if you want to study this more carefully. It's a book called Decoding Your Dreams by Jennifer LeClaire. And I read an article based out of one of her chapters, and I have read and seen her material in some other areas of the prophetic and gifts of the Spirit. I like what I've read. I haven't read a lot of her stuff, so I can't necessarily, you know, endorse all of her materials and things, but this one, perhaps this book is very good. I've, again, just read part of it here. And it was helping me develop a list. Mine's a little different, but and she's very detailed in it on the signs, the clues, how you're looking for to be sure it's a dream for God, and then how to interpret it. God is speaking to you. He's not going to keep it a secret, the meaning of it. He wants to bring interpretation to you, and it's a process. And I think God actually likes that we're in a process, because it's like a sanctifying process. It's a humbling. It's a seeking Him in prayer and the Word and in specific areas. And so let's go over this right now. As Joseph said, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams, cupbearer and baker. And so that's what we're doing is, Lord, we're going to learn and be in at work with the Spirit of God, discovering these interpretations. So I'm going to jump to the list that we've got here. It's 8 parts, okay, on this list. And part of this, what's happening through these 8 discerning processes, prayerful processes, is you're waiting for what many call the witness in your spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, and He's working and He's speaking. And then when you're a born-again Christian, where you have a new birth on the inside of you, where your spirit that once was dead and there was no light there now is born again. You've got a light in you, and it's in your spirit. Your spirit has been reborn. Now you have that communication link with the Holy Spirit, the light of God. And so your little s spirit is in communion with the Holy Spirit, the big s spirit of God. And you bear witness. There's something inside in your heart, or sometimes we call it from our bellies flow rivers of living waters from our innermost being. And you sense, okay, that's it, God. Yeah, your natural mind is doing the studying and reading and praying and so forth, but you're waiting for this. Yeah, no, that's it, God. That's it. That's what applies here. This is what I'm getting. And it comes back to you in that confirmation. So these 8, processes, discover the interpretation. It ends up being a confirmation in here you're looking for. Number one, write the dream down. I had a notebook by my bed, and I remember specifically I put it there before I had that dream of the ministry couple that ended up coming to Living Waters. And I had it right next to my bed, and I think it's a symbol of saying, God, I really want you to speak to me in dreams. And so yesterday I put a notebook back at my bedside table again. That area can be a mess. Yeah, I know you can't believe that, but you know, I kind of lost that notebook after a while. So I've got another one. And the reason you want to write them down is because if it's a dream from God, aren't you, it's very vivid. You're going to really remember it. You don't need to write it down. Well, I'll tell you what happens. It'll be a dream from God. It'll be very vivid. You're going to remember it, but give it several months, now several years. It can still have impact on your life, but you're starting to forget details of it. And you go back and read it. Oh, yeah, there's some details I forgot. Or if it's just a dream, you know, from my own soul, just kind of this thing keeps. Well, write it down. Pray over it. God may give you some instructions on what your soul needs, you see. So writing it down is just a great practice. It's important here. Number two, judge the source of the dream. I already went through that list. It's either from God, your own soul, yourself. It could be from medicine side effects, you know, something physical, and or from the enemy. Number three, go to the Word looking for understanding. Folks, this is really a practice that is absolutely necessary in any of this. You get a prophetic word, and then they'll often be times you don't fully understand. It's encouraging and all, but you go to the Word and God will start revealing things when you look up scriptures. I had a good friend that had a lot of dreams, and it was like every few months he would go, Steven, I got to tell you about this dream. And he would tell me the dream, and it was explosive. There was lightning bolts. There were evil creatures. These were really dramatic dreams. My eyes are like this, you know, and then he would go, what do you think it means? Well, I said, well, you know, I'm not sure, but, you know, this could be here. Have you looked in the scriptures about what this could mean here? And you just go to, you know, Google search and say, give me all the scriptures about boom, 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 and then just start reading them. And most of the time he wouldn't do that. Listen, God wants to reveal to you. He wants you to study. He wants you to dig. And that is part of this process. And I think he had dreams. He never did get much interpretation. He just missed out. And so you go to the Word looking for understanding. Number four. After you see the general theme and directions, dig into the details. That bigger picture usually comes pretty quickly. And that is, it's like, yeah, okay, I have this sense that God definitely wants me to go in this direction, but I still don't understand this. And so go ahead and you can go ahead and respond to that dream, even if you don't fully understand it. It is possible, folks, that for years you may not understand the meaning of certain dreams, the full meaning. And it's not something bad. It's not something harmful. You're just staying open and staying surrendered. Karen Carper, beloved dear sister, member of this church for many years and on our staff as the financial administrator. And so she was good with numbers, right? She was an accountant. Let me tell you, God gave her dreams. God would give her dreams. And we'd be in staff meeting and she would share a dream and we would start asking the Lord for interpretation and thank the Lord and praise God. We've got some direction here. And then, you know, another month or two later, she might have two or three dreams to share that she had in the last few days. And we're trying, and it's like we couldn't figure them all out. She had more dreams than we could interpret. And it's okay. I mean, it's not a problem. But so don't worry about that, but stay open. God is going to keep revealing things to you. And all right, let's go. Let's see what else about that. Number five, consider any symbols, numbers, colors, people's names, and timing. And this is when you might have a symbol and even it could be an animal. It could be a number and you can look it up. Their Hebrew numbers have meanings to them. All right. It might be, that could be significant. It could be a detail that only you know about. Oh, that meant something to you. You share it with a friend to pray with you and they don't know about that detail. But no, this is something dear to you and it sticks out. That's important. Timing is important of when the dream happened. Dolores, you know, we've worked together in counseling ministry and she's in pastoral care and she's on staff, but she's not on the eldership team. She's not on the board. And I remember there was something on the eldership team we had talked about, we were praying about. That week, she had a dream and she wrote it down and she's really good about that. She'll write it down and give me a copy of it and share it with me. Well, she didn't know. We just talked about that in the eldership meeting. So the timing of the dream helped confirm this applies to that. You see, it was another time that we had, she had a dream and she wrote it down and gave it to me. Then in the next board meeting, we talked about that. I'm going, whoa. And I think she gave it to me after the board meeting. I said, when did you have this dream? She had it before the board meeting. So she, again, the Holy Spirit knows everything and searches the heart. Our little spirit doesn't, but our little spirit can receive from the Holy Spirit what's going on, and God will show us what's about to happen, like he did Pharaoh. Number six, consider your emotional reactions, because that's part of the message from God. That dream I woke up, battling and praying and speaking in tongues in warfare. I mean, that was part of it. It was like, Stephen, this is something you need to take authority and do battle against in the spirit. Our emotions can have a clue of what God is trying to get to us in that. Number seven, consider multiple dimensions for application. The dream I had where God revealed a direction for the church. And then I realized, a week or so later, well, no, this can be applied in a family situation as well. And so God can use an interpretation and apply in different levels. And then number eight, the final step here, is find help with interpretation. Karen Carpenter was one that I would often share a dream with or instruct someone in the church to share with it. Regina Caldwell was another one that have giftings of interpreting dreams and interceding over it and getting maybe another person or two to pray with them and respond back. And I still do that today when someone shares a dream with me, and I'll ask permission first. I'll say, you know, I'm going to pray over this, but I'd like to share this with this person. Maybe this, is that okay? And I get permission. But sharing it with the spiritual leaders in your life can be one of the steps of interpretation. Look at this scripture right here. Hebrews 13:17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. See, before God, your pastors and spiritual leaders, we're accountable to God to watch over your soul. And there's been times someone will share with me a dream and they're going, you know, I really don't know what this means. And I go, oh, no, this fits you. That is, I see that in you. I see that ministry in you. This is something God already has revealed. You are in this. Oh, yeah, no, I agree. That is something I would be concerned about. I see that. And so someone who's been walking with you and knows you and is a spiritual leader and covering your life, they can help with those interpretations. Go ahead and bring the praise team up. I want to end with this New Testament prophecy. It was actually an Old Testament prophecy spoken by Peter. And he's preaching the first sermon in the book of Acts, the day the church started in the book of Acts. And he says, this is that. In Joel, as in not executive pastor Joel or founding pastor Joel, but prophet Joel in the Old Testament, chapter 2, Peter is repeating this prophecy when the Holy Spirit's poured out, and now the Holy Spirit lives in people when you're a child of God. And he says this in Acts 2:16-18. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. You mean you have to be old to have dreams? No. There are young people that have dreams, and there's old people that have visions. So don't worry about that. But what it says, that in God's church, He is going to speak to His people. He's going to give prophetic words. He's going to give dreams and visions. He's not going to keep them in the dark. They're going to hear from heaven and not so much about dreams, but let's take this whole heart of God that God wants to communicate with us. And let us say, as we go home here, God will show you what He's about to do. That's what He did with Pharaoh, and He'll do it with you too. Let's ask God to speak to us in dreams, visions, prophecies, and many more. And get that notebook by your bed. Let's just wait here in quietness as they play a little bit of this worship song. And let's just listen to God right now. Let's not rush off if you can, if your schedule allows. Let's just listen right now and see how God wants to speak to you.